The Lord's Supper. The opening passage of our lesson this week is Paul's summary of the communion service found in 1 Corinthians 11. I have received, he says. This is a divine insight that was given to him, a special direct revelation. He was not there on the night of the betrayal, but he received by inspiration what took place. How the Lord, the night he was betrayed, took bread and wine, commanded it to be done in remembrance of him as often as we wish till he come. Now each of these points is extremely important. I have received. The communion service is given to Paul and through Paul to the Christian church by direct revelation. It calls attention to the night Christ was betrayed. Now last week we thought about Christ washing the feet of the betrayer as a prelude to the communion service that immediately followed. How the Lord Jesus took bread. It was a definite, conscious, volitional act on the part of Christ when he took the bread and he took the wine. He gave thanks. As he had said before, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He desired to eat it. The hour was come. Long years before, 3.5 years before, when Jesus had carried out the turning of the water into wine in the wedding feast of Cana, he had told his mother, "Mine hour has not yet come." Now his hour had come. There was no wine still for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus Christ, the true vine, had to turn the water into wine. The cup is the new covenant in his blood. The blood, the wine of the true vine. His hour had come. He was ready to die. And Jesus, with desire to eat this Passover. He knew Golgotha was just ahead. He knew that the scourge was hanging by the wall. He knew that the blacksmith had fashioned the nails and the carpenter the cross. Jesus, knowing all things, John 13, 1, 2, and 3, said, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover." And so he took the bread and gave thanks for its breaking. Jesus gave thanks for its breaking, and then he broke it. No man takes my life. I lay it down. I break it. I give it. I hand it to you and say, "Take, eat," when I have given thanks for this privilege. No man takes my life from me. I pour out the wine of my blood. And I give thanks to be able to do it. Take, drink all of it, and remember me. Remember me as oft as you wish. As oft as you wish. I'm dying the second death, and I want you to remember it till I come. Till I come. As a reminder not only that I died, but as a reminder that I will come. Till I come. The first section of the lesson reminds us of Christ's sermon years before. Except ye eat and drink, you have no life. I am the bread, my flesh, my life, my blood, my life poured out. You must partake. You must eat. And eating is the most personal thing we do. It's where we show our will. There are things we don't like and things we do like. And we're not about to eat the things we don't like. That's why eating was the test in the Garden of Eden, at the Exodus, and now. We must choose to eat the flesh and drink the blood. If we don't, we have no life. And Jesus established a new Passover. There will be no need of blood on the doorpost. I have poured it out. Christ the Passover was sacrificed for us. I am not going to drink any more of the fruit of this vine until that day when I drink it new with you in the kingdom of my Father. Jesus Christ is the bread. Jesus Christ is the wine. The bread is his body broken, suffering. The wine is his blood, his life poured out in expiation. Every sin brings suffering, remorse, guilt, horror, regret, sorrow. Jesus bore the sorrow when he died with a broken body. The wages of sin is death. Jesus died when he poured out his blood. The sufferings and the death that Jesus Christ endured are the second death, the final suffering. And when he gives me that bread that he has broken and that wine that he has poured out, this is as near as I need come to the second death. I can take that piece of bread and rejoice that he suffered for me. I can take that cup and exclaim, "Death, where is thy bitter sting?" Jesus bore it all. And he gives it to me. Take, eat. And the reason why I can eat and drink this symbol of damnation is because I have prepared for it by identifying with Christ's life of humility and service, as we studied last week's Sabbath School lesson. When I identify with his life, I have the requisite preparation to identify with his death. And I can identify with his life in symbol, in the feet washing, as I identify with his death in symbol in the communion service. Unless I examine myself, and unless I symbolically prepare myself, if I go blindly and boldly into this symbol of damnation, I may be sick, or at least sickly. And I might even spiritually die, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This bread, this cup, help me to participate in the penal, condemnatory second death, unafraid, because I am in Christ. So I too can give thanks. I too can rejoice as I look at those emblems and see what has happened to them. Take the bread. The corn of wheat, if it lives alone, dies. But when it is cast into the furrow of the world's need, it multiplies, brings forth a hundredfold. And then it's cut down. It's taken and threshed, beaten, flailed. It's put between the upper and nether millstone and crushed. Then it's sifted. It's kneaded and pummeled and put into the fire of the oven. And then the bread emerges. Everything that has been done to make that bread so fragrant and tasty, allegorically, has been hurtful. Take the wine. It was cut from the vine. It was stomped upon in the winepress. And yet, sweet, fragrant, lovely, it represents his lifeblood poured out. The bread and the cup together form the sop. And Jesus gave the sop to the betrayer. It might have been life to him, but he despised it, flung it aside, went out, betrayed him, and then destroyed himself. Jesus is ready to give the sop even to the traitor. The communion service is not exclusive. There may be traitors in our communion services. They should not be hindered from participating. They should not be excluded if they choose. This is a purely voluntary activity. Jesus is ready to give it to them. Since the Jews were expelled from Jerusalem, they have adapted their Passover service to the changing conditions and circumstances of the centuries that have elapsed. As they drink the cup of the Paschal wine, they lift a toast with the words, "Next year in Jerusalem." Long years ago, Jesus gave us the communion service with the statement, "I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in the kingdom of my Father." He was taking upon himself a temporary Nazarite vow that would end in the New Jerusalem, when he said he would drink it new with us in his Father's kingdom. I think it's very good each time we have the communion service and we take the cup to remember Christ's words. "I will drink no more until. Remember me as oft as ye will, till I come." We can lift that cup as a divine toast, inaugurated by Jesus himself, and say to our companions, "Next year, the New Jerusalem." Will we be there when the redeemed of the Lord gather from all the ends of the earth? When they come up from one Sabbath to another, from one new moon to another, to the temple of God, to the Lamb who is the ultimate of the temple, to the one who is the elder brother, who invites them, "Come, ye blessed." There we will see him as he sees us. There we will praise him with the utmost intelligence. There, when he lifts the toast at the marriage supper of the Lamb, we can say, "This year in Jerusalem." As we recall the lessons on worship that we have considered each week this quarter, they are focused on Jesus, on his attributes, his qualities, his love, his day, his songs, his worship, his word with his people. He has left us theoretically and in these practical ordinances, ceremonies, each of which are calculated to inspire and help, every means that he can devise to prepare us to worship him in reality in the new earth. Let us pray that we may indeed worship him in spirit and truth here and eternally there.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.